weak solidarity bricky team, listener, when we will soon cross to the big game with Kevin and expert commentator Michelle. In fact, I think they're ready for us now. Kevin, what's happening? A sensation over here. The game hasn't even started, and there's a violent blue between the players. A brawl. The game can't start because the umpires can't break them up. Oh, so the socialists and the coalition have had it already, Kevin. No, that's the sensation bit. The coalition team are building the proverbial out of each other. The socialists are just standing out on the right wing, watching them destroy themselves. It's a sensation, Michelle. Very interesting, Kevin. The coalition team are building the proverbial out of each other. The socialists are just standing on the right wing, watching them destroy themselves. I thank you, Michelle, for your usual incredible insight. Oh, their captain, Lees and Dreg, says it's just determining the game plan, but goodness me, Michelle. Auntie Thomasina Price has her in a headlock. She's strangling her. Very interesting, Kevin. Their captain, Miss Lees and Dreg, says it's just determining the game plan, but Ms. Auntie Thomasina Price has her in a headlock. She's strangling her. A stunning analysis again, Michelle, stunning. And I noticed the socialist vice captain mauls the bad guys as demanded the game be played with a US of made football. I didn't even know they made them over there. Another sensation, Michelle. Very interesting, Kevin. The socialist spice captain, Mr. Malls, the bad guys, has demanded the game be played with a US of made football. Thanks again for great insight, Michelle. Malls, the bad guys, says they must use the US of Forcus brand made for gridiron, Michelle, but says it can be adopted for Aussie rules. What's wrong with Mr. Malls, the bad guy's own balls, Michelle? Very interesting, Kevin. Mr. Balls, the bad guy, says they must use the US of Forcus brand ball made for gridiron, but says it can be adopted for Aussie rules. I won't comment on your last point. Once again, what will we do without you, Michelle? Well, look, until the US of Forcus adopted ball gets bounced, we'll take you back to the studio. Oh, thanks, Kevin, and especially thanks to Michelle for those brilliant comments, deep analysis. We'll keep an ear on them and cross back as soon as anything happens, other than the coalition tearing strips of each other and the socialists doing nothing. Listener, we must sadly condemn ingratitude. Poor US of the UN, of the US of the world, big supremo Donald Trump, or the poor, knows all about that. We'll come to that. But locally, geographically, True Blue Aussie is so friendly, so caring, it calls these small, inconsequential Pacific neighbours our Pacific family. And we go out of our way to alert them to the dangers they face from evil China. Yet, just when we announce our admissions reduction ambition, 62 to 70% in 10 years, aided and abetted by simultaneous approval of 45 years of gas, 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 these inconsequential neighbours, led by Vanuatu, which had the audacity to go squealing to the International Court of Justice, which in turn ruled countries can be held liable for the emissions they produce, and the Vanuatu climate change minister had the gall to tell us approval of the Woodside with profits gas, gas, gas would put True Blue Aussie in breach of the ruling and dispatch our Pacific neighbours to the bottom of the briny. Like those terra nullius non-land, non-people who complain about the destruction of centuries-old rock art, goodness, the socialists impose strict conditions. These minority groups are trying to dictate to the majority, like the socialists and the great pollution behemoths. Ingrates. Not at all Pacific neighbourly. More sensibly, well, 100% more sensibly, great Japanese pollution behemoth Mitsua. Seriously, this is one of those far too regular occasions where satire can't compete with reality. Great Japanese pollution behemoth Mitsua said True Blue Aussie's, quote, ambitious climate target bolstered the investment case for new gas projects over and above its massive investment in True Blue Aussie iron ore and don't be afraid of it, good, good coal. We have very strong pressure of decarbonisation toward 2050, so we are doing more energy transition business, it said. See? They plan to decarbonise by carbonising. although perhaps their ambition is reflected in their ambitious climate target terminology, because it's actually an emissions reduction target, whereas Mitsui and Woodside with profits, in which Mitsui has also invested, and Santos, the profits, NL, have a climate increase target as part of the transition from themselves. Not that it matters for Donald Trump or the poor, who admitted modestly that he's never been wrong ever, told us climate change is a joke, isn't happening. So our Pacific family has nothing to worry about. And the great pollution behemoths can go on non-polluting to their heart's content. That item we covered 2 weeks ago, described as Hunger Games AN Zero for You style, some of the 3,500 doomed workers, or sorry, sadly having to be let go workers, competing to save their jobs, groups of 30 invited to apply for 10 positions, the other 20 handing your computers as you head out the door, was a leak from the bank's legal department. The general counsel, so irate, he started a witch hunt to unearth the leaker and promised dire consequences against any more leaking. And how do we know that? Of course, somebody leaked it. While the caring business class, Hayseed and Sheepshit Party's coalition, are belting the proverbial out of each other before the bounce, that esteemed body, the True Blue Aussie Glory of Glorious War Memorial, practiced the art of changing the rules mid-game after a book by journalist Chris Masters was declared its Military History Award winner by a panel of independent judges. Bit of a problem for a memorial devoted to the glories of train killing, as the book was about uncharged, declared war criminal and murderer Ben Roberts smites the bad guys, smites the innocent. So the board said, oh, we forgot to mention the writer must be a first-time author, rendering the winner ineligible. What bad luck. But big Supremo Anthony Albanese said he backs the council, which includes former big Supremo Tiny A Bit More for the Bosses, and is chaired by former Socialist Party Supremo Kim Beesneys, whom Anthony described as a great man, known affectionately as Bomber, thanks to his love of a bit of train killing, from a safe distance by and of other people, of course. And surprise, surprise, despite True Blue Aussie's courageous recognition of a Palestinian state, the words, not deeds, don't seem to have had any impact on the slaughter, destruction, genocide and starvation of the non-land, non-people. All ignoring there was a Palestinian state, a Palestine, pre-1948, and even then a Palestinian state on the outskirts of the now former Palestinian state headed by the free world to Zion to ensure the Palestinian people would never know a free world, non-land, non-people. The Bostana Profits Consulting Group, its offshoot, the slightly misnomered Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, announced it will train its staff in humanitarian principles. We will make them aware there are humanitarian ways to slaughter starving and desperate people. Well, non-people, it boasted. One deep-thinking Charlie Carkett acolyte said Charlie had met his maker in heaven. So the shooter may have done him a favour. Or may, or did. He's in heaven. Confirmed. Unfortunately, with a dose of sacrilegious hyperbole by one memorial speaker, the Secretary for War, I think, who declared Charlie is now the finest figure in paradise, leaving no doubt where he is. But that implies Charlie has overtaken Jesus in the pecking order, usurped the dear baby Jesus. Although maybe Donald would probably agree with that, top of the pecking order, until Donald himself turns up. Infallibility, infallible Don. He told the UN of the US of the UN of the world just that. He has never been wrong. Ever, ever. I don't say that in a braggadocious way. He didn't need to say. No one would have thought for 1 second. Although I think it's the biggest word he's ever used, most syllables. So he must have consulted the White House thesaurus. Although many cruel commentators suggested that in his hour diatribe it was difficult to find anything that wasn't wrong, including the 1 hour bit, but Donald knew the 15-minute speech protocol didn't apply to him. He berated the UN for failing to congratulate him bow and scrape for solving seven wars, which of course they may have done if they had the slightest idea which wars they were. They knew they didn't include the two wars he promised to end by day one of his term back in January, unless the mopping up operations are quite protracted. But maybe, as my City Limits co-presenter Zeb suggested Wednesday, maybe he had his finger on the button seven times, ready to nuke some non-acolyte for not bowing and scraping enough, but pulled back at the last second. Oh, and Charlie might be in heaven, but the UN of losers are all going to hell. As a by-the-by, we're still waiting for the socialists to appoint an administrator to these construction-caring employers whose corruption and ripping off workers is being exposed by the day. Any day now, we're sure. And as the massive power and water pollution of ever-expanding data centers is evident, 12% of total energy predicted, the big tech giants have declared they are, wait for it, climate saviors. See, apparently massive energy bills will encourage them to use renewables. Sure. Notice in their self-praise as climate saviors, there's not one mention of water. But of course they'll use renewable water. Finally, let's check what's happening at the big game. Has it got going yet? No, the coalition's still at it, knocking themselves stupid, which doesn't take a lot. And the socialists are still out on the right wing, doing nothing. Business as usual, in fact, which is the problem. Good morning.